Welcome to Adult Siblings Versus, a podcast where a grown-ass brother and sister put aside their childhood rivalry in order to review nostalgic pieces of pop culture. I'm your co-host, Jason S. Leverett.
And I'm your other co-host, Arielle Leverett.
Well, Arielle, you know, I gotta say, between the last time we recorded and today, it has occurred to me that I might have been making assumptions about your feelings about this particular thing we're gonna be looking at today. Because sometimes I forget that you're 4 years younger than me, and therefore your consciousness at certain things may not have been as developed as mine. I think you were excited about the Claymation Christmas, so I assumed you'd be excited about this too. But now I'm not sure. I'm not sure. This thing is older than you by, or I think you were older than this thing by only like a month. So I don't know. But
I mean, I did have very discerning taste when I was 1 month old. You know, a regular TV critic I was at that age.
My understanding is that it was mostly Arsenio Hall that you were into.
That's true. Well, that's it was quality stuff. You know, people forget about that show. It's very good.
So anyway, we are revisiting the world of 80s claymation as we're going to look at the 1988 television special Meet the Raisins, which was the special starring the California Raisins, which as adults in the year of our Lord 2022, it might be a little difficult for us to properly understand what the California Raisins actually were in the 80s. Because they're a joke now. There is nothing but a joke. Like if they show up in pop media, it is just writers dunking on them on the whole thing for being stupid. Like this 80s garbage. And I guess we're going to talk about how accurate that is, what the California Raisins were, and what's made them popular, and why they stopped being popular. And then at some point we'll talk about the special, I guess.
Sure.
One caveat I will say, a lot of the special could be traced back to a lot of the talk that we made about claymation in the 80s with the Will Vinton Studios, the company that would eventually become Leica. I don't think we need to go back into all that again. I would say if you guys want to know more about the heyday of 80s claymation, and who Will Vinton is, what his deal was in the 80s, and then what his connection to Leica, the company that's done all these stop motion films in the last, has it been 20 years, 15 years? Last however long, too long for me to feel young. I would suggest you go check out our episode on the Claymation Christmas. So that's Adult Siblings Versus a Claymation Christmas. You want to look that up and just kind of revisit that, because I'm not going to go into it. I have maybe a little bit of details, but I'm not going to go that deep into it. We're going to talk about mostly raisins today. And a little bit about grapefruits, but just a little bit. But if you would like to reach out to us and complain about our lack of claymation talk, and if you want this to become a claymation podcast and you want to let us know, you can give us an email at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com.
We hear you, Wallace and Gromit or Die 97.
Oh man, that's something that we might want to watch. Oh my god, I think that's also on Peacock. Okay, we gotta.
Yeah, I think that is definitely up our alley.
Oh boy, okay, we're trying to figure out our schedule for future episodes. We're just never gonna get back to Disney, are we? That's just what the lesson is here.
Or Pixar. I still gotta watch Ratatouille. I have a renewed flame to watch Ratatouille because of a recent movie I saw, which I'm not sure if you saw, so I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, better not. I'm not 100% sure what we're talking about. Here's a funny thing. Apparently, and I don't want to spoil Ratatouille too much for you, but apparently the main human character is considered a palatable robot amongst many different people.
Yeah.
I recently saw a video that had a size comparison of like just about every palatable giant robot you can think about, and the guy from Ratatouille was on the list.
Oh, that's funny.
It is fun. Anyway, if you'd like to tweet at us about being angry at us not doing Pixar movies right now, you can reach us at Adult Versus on Twitter, and you can also reach us on Facebook. So, Ario, before I start spieling, what do you remember about Meet the Raisins, and the California Raisins in general, prior to revisiting it this week?
I mean, I guess just kind of basic images. Like, it's hard because I can't say that, like, oh, I remember the songs, because the songs are just Motown songs. So, like, obviously I remember the songs. I hear the songs all the time. But I remembered, like, little moments of it, AC and Bebop hitting each other, like the home video where they like hit each other and cried until their cries became harmonized.
I think we used to do it to each other. Literally, I think we watched this and then we started doing it.
Yeah. Like, I remember that. And then I contemplated what weird kids we were. And like, I remember that Lick Broccoli was a bit much for me. And I remember... I remember laughing at Zoot just kind of showing up in the background trying to sing his song, and everyone's just like, could you not? But like, I didn't remember like many details from this, because I feel like my bigger thing was Claymation Christmas, because that felt more like a Christmas tradition to me as a kid. But, you know, upon revisiting, I'm like, I remember that, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
So, we did watch this a lot. I will maybe admit that we probably watched A Claymation Christmas more. Our parents really seemed to like the Claymation stuff, so we had a couple of Claymation specials recorded. I do remember watching this a lot with our parents. I think this episode, in fact, might be more for them than for you, to be perfectly frank.
Hi, Mom!
I definitely remembered this being... I've watched this more recently than 30 years ago, right? Like, so I've seen this maybe 10 years ago, I think I may have watched it. And I think I actually watched it with our parents on YouTube. Oh. And the number one thing I remember is that there's fake commercials, there's fake ads in the special that were not on the recorded TV version that we had. And I'm thinking that when our parents recorded this, for some reason they opted to skip recording those parts. Either they thought that they were pointless and not funny, or they didn't realize it was part of the special.
I could definitely see, like, hearing the... And we'll be right back with Meet the Raisins, instantly stop and be like, ah, crap. But why would you keep doing that? I don't know.
I don't know. I remember when I watched it 10 years ago, or however long ago, I remember being just like, holy, wait, what? There's fake ads in this? How did I never know? And the answer is that I was not in control of my destiny when I was 4 years old.
Well, that makes me feel better, because I kind of felt like the commercial stuff didn't ring a bell. So I guess that's why. I thought I was just like, wow, I guess I really don't remember this, but okay.
No.
That's okay.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the California Raisins. So like I said, Meet the Raisins is a 1988 television special premiering on CBS. It was based on the California Raisins property. It was directed by the man himself, Will Vinton, along with Barry Bruce, with a screenplay by Arthur Sellers, story by Barry Bruce, Mark Gustafson, and then Craig Bartlett, and Arthur, and also Sellers. I gotta ask you, Ario, how aware are you of the cultural phenomenon that was the California Raisins in the 80s? Because you were not around for a lot of that, and you were a baby when this special came out. This is kind of the high point of their existence. Do you have any concept of, like, the popularity of these guys from back then?
Basically, all I know about their popularity is basically what I know from you. Because, like you said, I wasn't actually conscious of the world in the height of all of this. So, basically, I know for a fact that they were like a little runaway hit, but like I don't really know details about that or what a big impact they randomly had.
Okay, so the California Raisins were essentially an ad campaign. This whole thing is an ad campaign, specifically created by the California Raisin Advisory Board. They made a commercial for Sunmade, who are, you know, probably the only familiar name so far.
Sure. Perhaps the most successful ad campaign sent, like, before Got Milk, as far as, like, a, you know, big whatever food product being, like, the sponsor of it, you know.
Well, Got Milk, yeah, sure. Although the Got Milk ads didn't get a TV show, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. So, from my understanding, this came from an idea from a guy named Seth Warner. And Seth said, apparently, that in their advertisements, they tried everything except, I don't know, something stupid like dancing raisins singing I Heard It Through the Grapevine. And they did it. And then, to everyone's surprise, it was a hit. This commercial was a giant success. And they ended up continuing on making more commercials. All these commercials were produced by Vinton Studios. They're all claymation. You know, even though it was very silly, it somehow got so popular that it bled into other media. So the California Raisins, as they came to be known. And let me tell you, like, these things were freaking everywhere. And when I tell you that the California Raisins released 4 studio albums, I need you to understand the ridiculousness of this. The fact that this isn't even a proper company. This is like the board that like oversees like the raisin farmers. Like this is, and they suddenly have this runaway media sensation. And I've been trying to rack my brain to think about something similar that I can compare this to in our timeline. Like the Got Milk is a pretty good example. But the problem with Got Milk is that it was just a very popular ad campaign, right? The closest thing I can think of is the Geico Cavemen.
That's true. They did try to have a show.
Yeah, because the Geico Cavemen commercials were super big. They were all over the place. And then you would see Geico Cavemen just showing up at, like, award shows and specials. And then, yeah, eventually someone was like, let's make it to a sitcom. And that completely bombed because it was stupid. But I can't think of any other time where just like an ad campaign like this just like turned into such a big multimedia hit. Because we're not just talking about the albums. Like, it had a brief animated series that was based off of the thing we're going to be looking at today, Meet the Raisins. They had video games. They had just a ton of merchandise. So just absolutely crazy.
There was the 7-Up Dot, because they had that video game, the 7-Up Dot.
I think the Cool Spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Cool Spot might have actually had a cartoon, too. So, yeah, actually, that's a pretty good example. Also, you know what? The 80s was throwing a lot of video games at people. I think the Noid might have also had a video game. So.
Woof.
But yeah, so the California Raisins were featured prominently in the Christmas special that we did back in 2020. We didn't make that special in 2020. We just talked about it in 2020.
We really hit a creative streak in 2020 and made a whole claymation Christmas episode. It's amazing. You know, really got those juices flowing.
Mm-hmm. It really helped me in between jobs. So that was in between being like working for the city government and then before I started working for a tax company.
Okay, that like actually makes me think of Parks and Rec.
That was the intention.
Good. You can cut me out of that. And this, okay, keep this part. Ha ha.
Right, great. Keeping all of it. So the, you know, and in the Christmas special, they did like the Temptations version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, if I recall. And so they were like, let's just keep this train going. Let's make a California Raisin special. But up until this point, the California Raisins were kind of a nebulous group of raisins. Like, they're just like a bunch of dancing and singing raisins. Even in that special, even though they had some fairly unique character designs, there was just like none of them had names. None of them had any separate personalities. For this special, Meet the Raisins, they made a conscious effort to streamline the group, give them names, give them unique physical features, give them personalities. how successful the personalities were. You know, we might get to that. But this is the first time that it happened, and then going forward, most of the specials or whatever media tended, maybe not the commercials, but they tended to stick with that. The cartoon definitely used the same characters. So what happened? This is years of money flowing like a river, right? Did the public get tired of the Raisins because it's stupid and silly and shouldn't have been popular in the first place? That's what you'd think. But from what I can tell, the Raisins didn't necessarily stop being popular. I'm sure popularity waned, but they're still, you know, popular amongst fans and amongst the public. But the problem turned out that the ad campaign had to be abandoned because the production cost for these, for all of this, was almost twice the earnings of the Raisin Growers.
Wow.
And so let me make sure so you understand. Much like, say, Transformers, any Transformers media, the only reason to do anything with the California Raisins is to sell raisins. And if you are not making, if you're making negative money, almost like you're making like so little money and like you're like in the negative, in the red, after years of doing this, that means that the California Raisins, on every conceivable business level, was a failure. No matter how popular it got, no matter how much money it sold.
God, I'm just imagining these California vineyards being like, excuse me, fucking why? What's why?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's very strange. So they end up abandoning the campaign. The California Raisin Advisory Board ended up closing by 94 because of like internal issues with between the people controlling it and the farmers, because unsurprisingly, the people on top did not care about the people on the bottom. Who would have thunk it?
And now raisins are but a mere memory. In my pantry, it's not raisins. It's dried cranberries and cherries. So.
Oh, I still like to buy golden raisins.
It's weird. I don't know why I don't like raisins, even though I've grown to like other dried fruit. But here we are.
Do we need the Michigan dried cherries to show up and start singing some classic Motown?
It really is from Michigan too. The ones that I have,
because cool, they're cherries. Yeah, so of course they're from Michigan. No, it's true. Like the California Raisins definitely did not survive this. There's been, you know, references. And like I said, most of the references that we see are like comedies making fun of the ridiculousness of it. And after watching the special, I get it. But there's also been the looming threat of a reboot. There's been a lot of chatter every once in a while about bringing the California Raisins back. It's something that I don't necessarily disagree with, depending on the circumstances of it. The last time I heard, they're talking about doing a CG version of the California Raisins. That would be the version that I would say, don't bother.
I think it's unnecessary.
I think if you are going to bring the California Raisins back, I think it's important that they are. If not claymation, because I'm not sure how much claymation you see anymore, but at least stop motion.
Yeah.
And you know who's the top dog at stop motion? Leica. You know who used to make California Raisin things? The company that Leica used to be. So, I don't know. Maybe someone should talk to them and give them a lot of money. But then again, who would pay for it? Like, who would want to give Leica the amount of money to go back on their artistic values just for this? Like, there's probably better uses of money in the entertainment world. So we may never see California Raisins done correctly. And maybe that's okay. Maybe it's okay for them to be kind of a byproduct of a bygone time. Not everything needs to have a reboot. Although I will be watching the Hocus Pocus sequel later this year.
Well, you gotta.
All right. So Ariel, when I was trying to watch the special, I went absolutely mad due to the visuals of it and fell into a hell of my own mindscape, of which I have yet to return. So would you be a friend and go ahead and tell folks what happens here? Because I am going to go ahead and go to the corner and scream infinitely for a little bit.
Probably from Lick Broccoli's singing, and it's probably what did it.
Mostly his lips and his tongue.
Oh, God. Yeah. I did not like revisiting that. Anywho's. Okay, so this story, there's not a lot to it, so it's going to be a very short synopsis. The structure of this special is kind of a parody of a Behind the Music kind of situation. Very VH1-ish kind of thing. Although, I don't know. At this point, is it more like an MTV thing? I can't remember. Like, what thing was flourishing in 88? I don't know. But Behind the Music kind of thing. And so you have this British host talking about, his name is Cecil Time, and he's, like, talking about the rise, and at first he kind of talks about, like, it's going to be the rise and fall of the Raisins, but it's just, yeah, their rise to fame. And so it just kind of goes through, like, their humble beginnings and their trials and tribulations and the gigs that they got and the successes that they were only half successes and blah, blah, blah. And by the end of it, they are super popular and woo. And then in between, there are a fun, like, little ads and stuff. And it's all claymation fun. Like, there's not a lot going on to describe, really. But it's, yeah, it then in the meantime, there's a bunch of Motown numbers that they sing that are super fun. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that the best thing about this special is the claymation itself. And I found, and I want to have, we need to put an asterisk next to the sentence to revisit later. But I did find this to be really, like, almost disturbingly good. And the reason I say that is because this looks like a cartoon. This looks like I'm watching an animated cartoon with the exaggerated faces, the speed of everything happening, all that. And then you have to stop and remember, this is all live action.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there. A lot of frames being filled, for sure.
Yeah, it is really like a testament to the artists doing this. Like, this is so seamless, it looks almost bad. It's kind of a weird way of saying it, but like it kind of takes a style that you would think, like, oh, this is a really freaky looking cartoon, and then you realize these are all things that exist in the real world that people were manipulating that could be in your house right now at the edge of your bed with a knife. And that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Now, none of the music here is original, obviously. So when I say the music was great, it is technically complimenting others. But I do like the sequences here. Like these are good. These are solid covers. Some of the covers here are actually, I actually associate them as being like the better versions of like some of the songs that they're covering. Not because they're better versions necessarily, but I guess, you know, better recording, not in a tiny dinky studio in Detroit.
Yeah, not one of those situations where they're clearly singing in a bathroom because they want to get that echo going.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I do think it's safe to say that the performances of these songs are really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that's the case. There's aspects of this special that I thought were really fun. First of all the movie parodies I thought were great, like every single one. I'm not sure why there are movie parodies in this, but as part of the plot, I guess they, like, some B or C movie Italian director cast them in a bunch of movies, and they're all terrible. Nobody sees them, but the clips they show are all really good. Sometimes they're only good because of the ridiculousness of what's happening. Like, almost the complete batshit surrealism that's happening in there, like. There's a parody of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, 2000 some.
Yeah, and the names are not good. Like that's the titles are bad. But like, there's a monolith, and they're kind of like, it's like they're like ape men, like proto-humans and then the monoliths are there, and it's like this dramatic, like almost painful background music, and then the like the main raisin AC is just like approaching it, like almost terrified, gets close, he puts a quarter in, it's a jukebox, and as soon as he puts a quarter in, I was like, this is amazing. this is good writing.
It's like, and let's get some doo-wop going.
Like, and then it starts playing I don't know the name of the song, but it's Ric Flair.
At the Hop?
No. Before that. It starts playing. I don't remember the name of the song, but I do know it was Ric Flair's theme song.
Oh, yeah. The dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's like, no, that sucks, and slaps it, and then they start playing At the Hop.
Then
they all just start dancing. And I also like the Western, just because like the evil gunslinger who's having a duel with a raisin, he's just like scowling and he's like touching his gun, and then he looks a little closer and realizes he's looking at four guys and they have this like horrendous dead-eyed grin just going like, I couldn't help but find that incredibly amusing, and then they kill him.
He's fine. He's fine. I mean, like, he cowers away after, he's forever maimed because they shoot him basically to his core. It's like a pepper, like a mean pepper that they're fighting. And yeah, by the time they're done shooting, because they just kind of go, da-da-da-da-da, and they're like, shotgun! And they're having a lovely time while they are just brutalizing him. But he does sneak away with his hat around his waist.
So we can't see his shame.
Yeah. But he's not dead.
He's not dead. And I like Zoot. You kind of mentioned the grapefruit guy. Zoot is the original bass singer of the group when it was three raisins and a grapefruit. And everything about him in this special I thought was pretty good. Possibly the funniest stuff in there. Like, I like how the manager was reminiscing about it. I was like, there's just something about him. I don't know. He just didn't quite fit in. Like, they show a photograph as this huge-ass grapefruit hanging out with these three raisins.
And the fact that, like, meanwhile, Stretch, who replaced him, was in a group of three grapefruits and he was the one raisin.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's good stuff.
And then I love on the assembly line too when he starts singing, and he's like, upon like leaving the group, he's been working on an assembly line like for fish, I guess. And he's like, "Do you want to hear a song?" And he starts singing, and like the fish in his hand is like subtly singing along with him, and it's just like, it's so funny.
And then he keeps showing up like throughout the special, like they're interviewing the raisins in like a little green room, and then like at some point it's like just starts floating behind them in like the window, start trying to sing, and they're trying to ignore him. And then at some point, the host, Cecil, he's got like a little TV behind him, and he's kind of talking about the raisins. And then Zoot shows up in the TV, and starts tapping on the screen. And I was like, hey, 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 and he starts singing, and he's like, ah, shut up, and just turns him off. I really think it's funny. I don't know for sure that Zoot is the correct grapefruit in Lick Broccoli's band. I think he's probably, because he's interviewed about that night.
Yeah, I had the same thought. I guess he says that it's like, this was the worst night of my life. So I guess it must have been him. So I guess somewhere down the line, he gets a new gig.
Yeah.
That I guess gets ruined too.
They get ruined, like the raisins have ruined his life. You know, the raisins were talking about how he was really bitter, but you know what? If they kicked him out the group for no reason other than racially, when you think about it,
yeah.
Like, and then he's got back on his feet. He's the bass player for like the big new hot shit in pop music. Lick Broccoli, the worst person in existence.
What a horrible. Every time I hear that name, I just shudder. What a bummer.
And then he's minding his own business, trying to perform, and then the raisins show up, crash the show, possibly destroy his whole life and career. And then they shoot up to start up. This would be like if Pete Best from the Beatles kept having his shows interrupted by the Beatles. after they kicked him out for Ringo. Anyway, how about you? Any positive things to say before I explode over here?
I very much enjoyed like their little puns, like, or just like their little jokes. Like, there's one point, like, they're talking about like kind of their humble beginnings and how they were like the only gig they could get was like singing on the corner. And I think it was Stretch who was like, "We were so poor, we couldn't afford words." And they're like on the corner just scatting. And the idea that they couldn't afford to sing words, so they could only scat. And like the little puns, like in the commercials, like there's like a little news reel that's going on. They talk about the first artichoke heart transplant and like things like that. It's like, it makes you go, Yeah, I don't know. It's a fun time. Although I gotta say, with Talent or Consequences, I question if that corn cob lived.
Oh yeah. So Talent or Consequences is a game show where I guess it's probably not just singing, but we only see singing. Like you sing, and if you're good, you presumably something nice happens. But if you're bad, something like they kill you, like they try to murder you, because then the guy immediately for the raisins is a corn man who they have in like a what was it? Was it actually like a popcorn machine?
I guess it must be, yeah, because it's like in this, yeah, kind of he's kind of in a plastic container kind of thing. So I guess it was.
Yeah, and when he sings badly, they turn that machine on and he explodes into a bunch of different kernels, popcorn kernels. Although I don't know if he died, because my understanding of a popcorn kernel is that like the kernels themselves are just like, you know, they're kind of popping off him. So maybe he lives, but he's just like lost all his skin.
Cool. All right. Well, that's
is different.
That's fun for it. I know he makes a joke. It's like, well, you can come back again next week, but sing in a group. And this is like, is he just like a whole new entity now? Because I feel like that is how you get evil villains right there.
Yeah, you know what? He does come back the next week as the popcorner, and he does kill them all. And he ends up challenging Batman to a game of wits.
I'd watch it.
The raisins themselves do well, and they're still punished. Because they do so well that the banana lady holding the giant weight above them accidentally drops him and sends him to the hospital for a year. So that game show is bad. That's a bad game show, because even if you win, you still lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a great system they have there.
Speaking of the puns, this show's a fucking pun factory. This show only exists in order to make as many puns about food as possible, and I am not here for it.
It's a lot.
It is nonstop. And you know what? I mentioned some of the things I thought was amusing, but I gotta tell you, I never once laughed out loud during the entirety of this thing. I was just going like rolling my eyes, sometimes so much that they rolled in the back of my head and I passed out and had to rewind after I regained consciousness. It's just bad. So bad. I don't think the writing was clever for the vast majority of. Now there's certain things I do like, you know, the musical sequences were all good. I should have mentioned that. Like, I love the sequence when they bring the singing telegram to the mountain climber.
Oh yeah, that's great. The poor mountain climber, like, somehow they get to the top of this mountain and they're like balancing on this teetering rock, and that poor mountain climber is just trying to like not die. And they end up like falling, and he's like just hanging off of a branch, and they're still singing, and it's great and awful.
Yeah, I love this like ridiculousness of it, because like he's like falling to his death, and they just keep showing up perfectly fine, including jumping out of like condor eggs or something. It's good, like. it seems like when it's really crazy like that, I see, like with the parodies, I seem to be into it. But then, like when they make a vegetable pun, I'm less into it.
When a fruit guy says that he's studying to be a cobbler, it's not great.
Yeah. I like the artistic ability to make the show look the way it does, but the actual results is some of the most hideous examples of animation I've ever seen. Like, and I'm not sure what it is. This is the same people who did a Claymation Christmas, and I had nothing anywhere close to the level of unnervedness as I did watching this. I don't know if it's just like maybe trying to anthropomorphize fruits and vegetables just results in strangeness, and or I'm not sure, but like this is just most of the models. Not the raisins look fine. Zoot looks fine, but most of the models just look disturbingly ugly. And the exaggerated cartoon features, while super impressive to know that this is done by hand, is still kind of hard to look at. And Lick Broccoli is the best example of why this is bad. Everything about Lick Broccoli in this is horrible. The way he looks, his lips, his tongues, it's just like, well, just thinking about it, it's like nightmare fuel. Like
the embodiment of cringe.
Oh, so much. Also, the show seems to be kind of confused as to what exactly is Lick Broccoli. Like, I'm not sure what they're trying to say. Are they trying to say, like, well, first of all, I don't know what genre of music he's playing. Like, my childhood memory is that he's supposed to be heavy metal. But he's not. He's definitely not the type of heavy metal that would have been popular in the 80s.
Yeah, it's like, weird because I feel like they kind of give him like a weird punk like, you know, like British punk like personality. Yeah. But he's just a screaming. It's a lot. It's confusing.
Also, no punk band has ever been that popular.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like punk did not become like that level of popularity until the 90s, and they were much different than what Lick Broccoli is. Yeah, this is hardcore, and hardcore has never been popular. This is just them dunking on punk, which I don't like. I don't care for that. As someone who spent many years of his life trying to be the leader of a punk band, I am not very appreciative of the dunking. Unless you're dunking broccoli into some sort of sauce. And then consuming it so it doesn't look at you anymore. Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, watching the special was kind of hard because I remember being liking it so much as a kid, and then watching it as an adult, even like 10 years ago or however long ago it was, I remember thinking that it was like, oh, this is actually held up pretty good. But then watching it this week, I was just like, this is not fun to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I've been watching this kids cartoon for funsies because why not, called Apple and Onion, which is like it was a Cartoon Network show that only had two seasons, but the whole thing is like the whole world is like every person is food, even though they 100% eat food, and there's no discussion about this. Like, you'll see the main characters like eating a burger and then like 2 seconds later talk to their friend burger, and it's never like really acknowledged. But but like for that, sometimes like things look a little weird, but like it's not the same kind of like, it's not grotesque the way some of like this like claymation, like some of their styling is. It's confusing. Yeah.
One other thing. Well, also, is it weird that there are animals in this world?
Yeah, like it's always like funny with that kind of thing where it's just like, what is this world? What are the rules?
Yeah. Also, I would like this a lot more if the penguin who they pick up in the Arctic just joined the touring group. Like
I do, like just became the roadie.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. One other thing that might be kind of minor that really bothered me, though, was the fact that in this group, in the California Raisins, there is a singer, a guitar player, a drummer, a bass player, and then sometimes there's clearly playing piano. every song in this seems to have saxophone, and no one plays saxophone in the band, and it really fucking bothers me.
Yeah, horns keep just, like, blasting in. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's... I mean, it's also, like, you know, aspects of, like, you know, like, Stretch is supposed to be the bass singer, and then I've constantly seen him sing, like, high-pitched stuff because no one bothered to, like, actually assign that, and, like, sometimes the songs don't even have bass parts. Why even say that? Why even say that? I don't know. Like, this is a magic band that can add female vocals, horns, and any other things that you have, even if there's nothing there at all. Like, when they're at Cruiser Consequences, there's literally only a piano, and yet there's a full-sounding band somehow playing in the background.
Yeah.
Did the show provide that? Like, is that the Cruiser Consequences band?
That would be oddly kind of that show, considering all talents the murders.
Talents or Consequences. Cruiser Consequences is something else.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about characters. They don't really have any.
No.
There's Ace. Okay, so I got the cast list here. So we've got Kareem as AC, just Kareem.
Yeah, I went to look. I was like, can I find a last name? And I could not.
Yeah. David Scully as Bebop. David Downing as Red. And then Ted Rosum as Stretch. That's the main band. I couldn't tell you what the difference between any of them are aside from their clearly distinct looks. They all seem to be kind of the same guy. I don't know. I don't even know what their personalities are. Like, I couldn't even tell you that this is like even lower than Ninja Turtle basic personality, where it's like, oh, he's the smart one, he's the jerk, he's the one that says dude. Like, it's not even that.
It's they all have the personality of old black musician. Like, yeah. that's all I'm getting from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, how long have they been performing? Because, like, I think the very beginning they show Ben Erb, one of the movies they probably did with that Italian director. And it said, I think it said 1957. And
which makes no sense.
And we're in the 80s at this point. Like, have they been? And if they were already doing the movies, it means like half of their career had already happened by that point. So like, how long have they been around?
And also, it says that that's like the film that might have ruined their career.
Oh, when my God.
When they already had done like the Star Trek thing and the 2000 and stuff, like things that would have come after that anyway. And it's all very confusing.
Oh, God, all they had to do was just not put a year, and it would have been fine. But yeah, it's hard to talk about their characters because they don't really have it. Zoot has the most character, played by Randy Patterson, has the most character of anybody in this special.
Yeah.
Rick Broccoli screams a lot. Actually, Rick Broccoli and the carrot hosts are the same guys.
I saw that. That's interesting.
Like, if you need someone to play a British voice, you just call this guy. It doesn't matter what type of accent he's doing. As long as it's within the UK, you call him.
I did find it interesting, like, what these actors have, like, have been up to besides this special. Kareem seems to be a mystery. Sometimes, like, I'm kind of wondering if they just created him to do the raisins, and he is actually a raisin. Because he only has the one name, and he seems to be only known for doing this one thing. But, I mean, the other people, like David Scully, like seems to do a lot of video game voiceover. Like, a lot of Halo. So, you know, good for him. And then David Downing, he was in an episode of Fresh Prince. The episode where Will's aunt marries a white guy, and they're like, oh, white man! David Downing was like the reverend at the wedding ceremony.
Yeah, I wish we could talk more about characters. I feel like there's a lot of potential room to, because I love fictional bands, love them. if I have a favorite genre of stories, it's space opera. But if my number two would be fictional bands having adventures.
That's fair. Yeah.
And the basic way that stuff works is if the characters have distinct personalities that play off each other. And these are all the same person.
Like, yeah.
They just, some of them are taller, and some of them, one of them wore sunglasses.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's disappointing.
Yeah, each one of them is your blues uncle.
Well, I'll be telling you about this punk crap. That's something that the white folk invented. You need to listen to the blues. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No. Yeah, I don't really think I have like other like interesting thoughts about like the characters or actors because it's pretty. It's short. There's not a lot of time for like character development, and they definitely chose to not bother for the most part. So, we need more Penguin, I guess.
Yeah. Doesn't even have a voice.
Yeah. I love it.
Or name.
I always love the random animal add-on who doesn't say anything, but damn it, they're there.
Okay, let's move on to music, but we're not going to stay in music very long because like these are all covers. This is a jukebox musical. This is a jukebox musical and also a diegetic musical.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not dissimilar from Blues Brothers.
Mm, yeah.
Rather than like kind of like talking about the music, I would just ask you if you have a favorite song or a favorite sequence that is here that stuck out to you.
Ooh, okay. Let me think about that. The singing is just really good in general. Although I always get, my ears always perk up when the song that, I forget the name of it, the Life Can Be a Dream. It's like, the hello again. I hope we meet again. Like the song that they're singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the bar or whatever near the beginning.
When Zoot was there.
Yeah. That song always makes my ears perk up because of Clue. It is like just like buried into my skull. And when I hear that song, I just think of trying to hide corpses. And that's. Yeah, I can't not think about that when I hear that song.
Yeah. Ain't You Proud to Beg is my favorite, which is the song that they played during the singing telegram sequence. I also like the Cool Jerk sequence, even though I don't love the sequence. I like that version. Also, I like that AC, who is just a weird... Okay, AC, closest thing to a personality that any of them have is that AC has a tendency of just bursting out of weird things, just being like a weird dude. I don't know if the show actually understands that as a personality trait, but I just love that he just for some reason just bursts out of the frozen lake to start that show, to start that song off. It's like out of nowhere. Like why?
Completely freaks out.
It's like the Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah. Oh God! And the way and how loud he's singing in the elevator and just like ruining people's day. Mm. Yeah. I got listening to A Too Proud to Beg. I definitely was just like, God, you know, that's such a good song. It like reminded me what a good song that is, and like I don't know, I might go and listen to some like Motown songs while I'm washing dishes later or something, because this is like it just got me in the mood for some Motown and stuff.
Any last minute thoughts about the Meet the Raisins as a whole before we wrap things up here?
You know, it's just funny, like the idea that this even exists. It's like, yeah, it's short and it's not great, but it's also like so crazy just the circumstances of it. And so I don't know, it's an interesting little time capsule, even if it's weird.
Let's talk final grade. So what would you give Meet the Raisins? So do you give a thumbs up, a thumbs down, a thumb somewhere in the middle?
Let's see, all this said, like I don't know, like would I ever go out of my way to watch this? Probably not. Like, I don't think I'm gonna, like, go out of my way to, like, I don't think I would ever, like, go out of my way to show someone this. Like, I would with some of these other things that are a little obscure, but, like, I want you to see it. So I feel like I feel like it's probably a thumbs down, because I don't think it's just not in my heart.
Yeah, this is a thumbs down from me. I think that this special was not very funny. I think that it was hard to look at, even though it was impressive. And I thought that there's a lot of potential not here. This was nominated for an Emmy. This got a lot of critical acclaim for being clever, of a clever family-friendly special. And I'm just looking at this and like, this feels like, if you'll forgive the pun, it feels like a lot of low-hanging fruit in terms of like the jokes made. And I just wasn't super into it. Music is good, but they didn't write the music.
Yeah.
And then some of the stuff there is amusing. Like, this wasn't, like, completely painful to watch. This isn't, like, a low thumbs down. But I can't give it anything above a thumbs down because I didn't like it. Like, I didn't have a good time looking at it, and I didn't feel like I had a neutral time. I feel like my night was made slightly worse having watched it. And which sucks because I think that if someone remade this with, like, just paying more attention to, like things like characters and, like, just better writing, this could have been an amazing special. It could have been, like, a stop-motion fruit version of This Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, it very well could have been Baby's First This Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that doesn't quite live up to it. Nah,
No.
Okay, so I apologize for putting you through that. I cannot promise it's going to get any better in the future. But next time, we are actually not going to do any review. We're actually going to revisit the X-Men. Something that I've been threatening to do for a long time. We're finally going to do it. We are going...
X-Men!
Yes, that is correct. We are going to do something similar to what we did to Transformers a while back. We're just kind of go through, you know, X-Men as a franchise a little bit and just kind of, you know, talk about, like, the differences between, you know, in their earliest days to kind of the representation these days and just kind of, you know, chat about it. I don't expect the next episode to be a super long episode. We'll be back to a normal style episode after that, so make sure, if you don't care about the X-Men, you might want to listen just to see what we're going to do next time, which you already have planned out. Mm-hmm. But who doesn't love X-Men? Our X-Men podcasts always do well, so I don't know.
I feel like we're all just patiently awaiting and for the MCU to get their X-Men stuff together. I haven't seen Doctor Strange yet, so no spoilers, listener. Stop calling out things. I can hear you.
Okay. I think she's talking to me, y'all. Anyway, because I have seen Doctor Strange. We are going to wrap things up here. If you wanted to get a hold of us, like I said before, email at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com, Twitter at adultversus, and we're also on Facebook. Our theme song is Sell Out by Zombie Apocalypse Now from the EP Forbidden Tales of Science. You can find that and more at antizombierock.bandcamp.com. So, Ariel, if they were going to make a Raisins reboot, do you think that they should continue doing Motown, or do you think the time has come to incorporate a different genre?
I think it's time that we had some fruits doing some EDM, so, you know, we need to get on that.
Oh, well, hey, that's also a Detroit thing, so they don't even have to leave the area. Oh, fantastic. So
you're welcome.
We're going to go downtown Detroit, do a lot of acid, and then make our parents wonder where the heck we are, as is tradition and when it comes to EDM music in Detroit. Until next time, as always, please do not put a dirty sock in your younger sibling's mouth.
Yeah. I think it's about time we had fruit doing trap music. So
what music?
Trap music? Is that not a genre?
Trap music?
Never mind. Okay, I'm gonna redo this.
What is trap music?
Oh, I thought it was like kind of like house, kind of. Never mind. Okay.
Oh, I just might not know what that is.
Well, now I'm self-conscious, and you maybe think that I might have made up something. So now I gotta change my answer.